First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, April 7th, 2024. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
The Wombat.
That's right.
Larry, which episode at the
end of flesh?
What is this?
This is 362. I think we'll go to
362.
365, and then maybe call it quits. I think.
Okay.
7 years of this is good. Good history.
We got one episode a day. We got an episode a day.
Yeah, for a year. And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition.
Nice.
And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. I would guarantee it. In Knoxville, here in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of 1,100 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. And we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
There's been a change in plans, and I want
what?
To talk
about. Who?
Yeah,
what?
There's been a change in plans. Also, the universe is ending on Monday, and
apparently.
let's see. I think
well, it's just the Earth. Just the Earth.
And atheism is just about bashing God. You know, some good classic questions.
Or hating God, well, whichever
yeah,
one.
Yeah, or hating God, too. Whatever God-focused, Christian-focused thing you can skew atheism into. Where to begin? You know what? Let's take a step back and just say, hey, I'm always happy to talk to you, my friend. Glad that you're doing well. Did you get the second surgery, by the way? Did you get
my other knee?
Yeah.
No, okay. I'm going to put that off as long as I possibly can. My
You're
knee's
going to ride or die it.
Yeah, fairly well right now.
Nice. I do the same thing with dental work, by the way. I always say like, oh, this is a massive hole in my mouth. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to ride it out. I'll just chew on the other side. I'm waiting until I can just take all these teeth and just replace them with like a replaceable set. And then I just get new sets every couple months.
Oh, yeah. My brother did that, but he was in his 60s, I think, when that happened.
Okay. Can't wait for it. Remember these days.
Uh-huh.
But let's see. How you been, Larry? It's good to catch up with you.
Been pretty good. I've been playing Jedi Knight, the original one, Fallen
Order.
Fallen Order. And then I've been playing Survivor. I finished it and started it again. It's a really good game. I highly recommend it.
Oh, it is. It is.
Especially if you're into the Jedi's or the Star Wars movies.
I like the Star Wars video games more than the Star Wars movies. I think the latest video game that came out, the last two, have a better story.
Yeah.
And like
world. And you get to live them. I mean, you're the protagonist.
Right.
Which
and you're not
really
trying
cool.
For an hour and a half where you have to like stop the movie to use the bathroom. You can like let them sit idle. And just, but I'm going to use the bathroom. Comes back, he's still in his ship. You're totally fine. It's all good.
Yeah. And it's he's got some really incredible moves, you know, for a Jedi.
Sure does. Yeah. I also like the voice acting of the villain in the first game. Like the performances are very good. There's a Jedi Master. Well, I don't want to put too much spoilers, but like a failed Jedi Master named C, I believe her name was.
Siri,
who's played by a very skilled actor. I think her name is Deborah Wilson, who used to be on Matt TV as like a comedic actor, but has done drama, has done horror movies since, has done some directing. She's just so talented. She does like, she's the face of like now the Suicide Squad lady. She's done Jedi work. She's done voice acting work. She's just everywhere. And it's always good to see her because it's always like a mark of caliber of talent.
They're talented and it makes for a great game.
Yes, talented makes for a great game. You should watch it. It's good.
And the sound and the music, you know, sounds.
Yeah. Sometimes I just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. There's like channels that'll just take all the cutscenes compiled.
Sure.
It'll be 6 hours long, but I will watch that in the background and just think to myself, this is like, this should have been a movie or a Netflix special or something. And you're telling me I can play that? And so, yeah, I had a lot of fun when I went through that game. I was surprised how active it was, because I didn't realize how big the world was. I thought it was just going to be set piece, but it was like, no, it's a whole Metroidvania. You can come back.
And I usually don't like third person. I usually don't like, you know, seeing myself in the screen. I'd rather play first person where I'm, you know, it's first person. But on this one, you wouldn't get to see his moves. Even after you're
Right.
playing first person, he's got some
Okay.
incredible moves.
No, that's true too. It'd get me really tired. As speaking of good moves, I'm getting better at rock climbing. It's one of the things that I'm loving to do. See, here's some calluses for you. For the radio listeners, I'm showing a handful of little brown marks on them. And it's been fun. I've been climbing now for about a year, and I've finally gotten to the point where I can walk into a gym, like my local gym, and systematically take off every single route that is on one of the segments. It's no longer just, well, I can only do one of these because I'm only good enough to do the first one and that one, and I'll just redo these. But now it's like, I'll go in and be like, I'm going to do all these. And I do them all except for like maybe one or two. And I'll try to do it. I'll be like, I got like 95% of the climbs done. And the only reason why I had to go home was because my arms are fried. But like, if I was fresh, I'd probably be able to get that one too.
Sure.
And it changes like
Do they
your
have like diamond
confidence.
courses and stuff
They do.
like in skiing?
No, they totally do. And they're color-coded or numbered appropriately. They go from zero all the way up to 14 for elite climbing. And I can go from zero to 14. I can hit tens on my first time. Like anywhere 10 below, I can do out on my first time. But 11s take me some time to work because it's exponentially harder. And so when you think about that, like Olympic caliber is like 14. I'm not getting close to the Olympic. I have no goal or dream of getting that level, but I would like to go into a gym and just say, oh, I did all the reps today. And that would make me feel so good if I can
Well,
get
you'll
close to
make it,
that.
I'm sure.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it, Larry. Later today, I'm planning on going roller skating. I am enjoying the car that I got. I got a recently new car. The whole thing with the car is it's way more interested in keeping me alive than I realized my old car was. So there's a lot of technology they've been putting into these things that I haven't been privy to. But and they the thing was that it was never sold. When I bought the car, I bought it online. So I just wanted to make sure it was like all-wheel drive and had like some core functions, but I
Does
didn't know
it
about
talk to you?
It does. It does. It's
You've
very
left your
specific.
door open. That's not
It
smart.
texts me. It texts me on my watch. It's like, by the way, you left your engine idle for 20 minutes, or your door's unlocked. We locked it for you. I'm like, did a human do that, or did my car do that? It's like, my car
Wow.
did it. I'm like, that's weird. That's cool. I appreciate that. Every time I'm driving, I'm learning something new. And I've had this car for about a month. And every single time I'm in it, I'm learning like some weird new function. There's a function called auto hold that will automatically depress or press down on the brake. Whenever you're in stop and go traffic,
Oh,
it'll just
yeah.
make sure you don't drift. And I thought, oh, that's so useful. I had no idea I had that button, because before I would always have my foot on the pedal and my
Yeah.
foot leg would get tired.
Sure.
But now the fun thing for me is I was taking a friend of mine to go play disc golf this week, and we get to the parking spot. I open up the car and my car freaks out. It's like, close the door, close the door. I'm like, okay, I close the door. And next thing you know, a car comes
Oh, wow.
sailing right next to us in the next parking spot. And if I had my door out open, he would have crushed the door open. And I'm like, what in the world do we do
Did it
here?
sound exciting and urgent?
It was a pleasant ding 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 ding. I was like, oh, what? Okay, I'll close the door. It's like
Wow.
close driver's side door. I'm like, okay, I close it. Sometimes I leave the sunroof open. It's like, hey, sunroof is open, close it. I'm like, I appreciate that. It's really nice though. How smart it is. It's nice to how do I put it? Have someone else watch you in the event that you had a plan, but the car has a different plan for you, and its plan is to be safer for you.
Well, cool.
I did want to talk about change of plans though.
Change of plans. Whose
Yeah.
plans? What plans?
Everyone's plans. It seems to be something that we don't like. Like, we don't like change in general. Would you say you like change, Larry?
Generally, no, but I'm a progressive, so yes. I'm not a conservative.
Okay,
I don't dislike it that much.
social change, you're for it. Social change, you're for it.
In certain directions, I think that change will make for a better planet, and we need to leave some of our baggage behind. some of the old stuff that serves no purpose anymore.
I agree. I think that's useful. I think even beyond change, diversity is good, just to have different perspectives in there, including in my mind, even like religious and non-religious perspectives. But the idea, the key to that is to have all the different religions, or like a lot of different religions, in the same room. Because when it's just one religion in the room and non-religion in the room, then it becomes as almost as if it's like two equal standards, right? Where it's like, well, you use science, but I pray to my frog god and everyone else prays to my frog god. So therefore, these are like two equal measures. Like, no, you need to see the people who pray to frogs. You need to see the people who do that weird stick thing. You need to see the people who do the weird, like, and then realize, oh, all of us are doing slightly different silly things, but when it comes to actually figuring out stuff, we use the non-religious versions, and that waters down the worst methods when you have them all in the same room, and highlights the one good one that's working. That's why I say have like the different religions in the same room.
And at this point, I'd like to recommend a book by Carl Sagan to everybody. It's called A Demon Haunted World: Science as a Candle in the Dark.
It
changed my life. It's the book that one of the books that made me come out about my atheism after 30 years in the atheist closet, as it were.
Shoot. Well, that's important. Thank you for recommending that.
Sure.
But yeah, changing in plans, I don't like it either. In fact, even when our job, we might change projects frequently because we are a center that changes priorities very quickly. And it can cause a lot of strife. It can cause a lot of discontent.
Chris.
You know, people will work on something really hard, and then all of a sudden there's a
change
new
plans. Yeah, goals over here now.
And exactly. You're like, oh yeah, now we're not going to do that. We're going to do this. And you're just like, oh, all right, fine. Starting from square one again. Do you think one of the problems with change is that you feel like you're losing progress? Is it like a sunk cost fallacy, or is it like, what do you
think that's a lot of it, but sometimes it feels like you've got the rug pulled out from under you, that you've been working on a goal and you've made plans, and then all of a sudden the goal is over here instead of over there, and you've got to rethink. Thinking is hard sometimes.
Thinking is hard, yeah.
Especially if it takes a lot of thought to get to your goal, and then you find out that your goal is different. Now you've got to rethink a whole lot of stuff.
What I hope, though, is you change your plan when you have a better target or you have a better goal, right? So that's one of the begrudging ways that I can always rationalize why it's good to have a change in plans, because the new target is more worthwhile than the old one. In fact, if I were to say, no, I'm not going to change my plan and keep sticking to that old one, I would adopt too conservative of a mindset, or I might be left behind as progress changes, and I might be driving my old rickety car compared to the new thing that I got,
And as you get closer to your goal, you may find out that goal isn't worth what you thought it was. Maybe you've seen past that goal now, and you can see a new goal that's much more worthy of your time and energy.
Yes. Larry, it's exactly like, in my opinion, I was, and this is a small story, but I once was at, this is when vaping was becoming popular. And I thought to myself, oh, and it doesn't have nicotine. Maybe I'll try out vaping one day. And they had a demo unit at a mall. And I was like, that looks so cool. But in the back of my head, I had a little alarm going, like, you don't want, your lungs are meant for air. They're not meant for antifreeze that's been aerosolized propylene glycol that you're just breathing in. Like, your lungs are made for air. Don't do it. And I had the biggest regret, because I thought, man, I'm a young guy, I can bounce back from it. But the idea of
habits, like, are not that easily broken,
right? The things that you can crave at the moment may not be the things that you want to crave far future down the road. And I'm so glad that I haven't adopted like a terrible, chemical addiction on something, or just some bad habit, or put my health at risk just for the sake of looking cooler, because there's
absolutely
other ways to look cooler, right? I changed my plans in that moment and I went to something else.
Yeah.
So I wanted God. Now here's the crux. We are a religious show. What if God looks at the world, looks at Earth? He is planning on destroying the world on Monday, but he looks at the world and he's like, you know what? This isn't working out as well as I wanted it to. And I really do care about the people here. I'm going to change my plans a little bit. It's time for a change of plans. In fact, when you think about it, Jesus was a change of plans in its own right, right? Like, so he has been or a plan change of plans. He's made some planned updates to his philosophy or his practice
Theoretically, yeah,
in
that's according
theory,
to the story.
right? So for the better, and some would say from the much, much worse, but the whole idea is if he's willing to change his plans and try something new, why not try again? And then what would you be looking for if God said, "Hey, listen, I want to have a heart to heart with you. I love you very much. I'm God. I want to change my plans for how I'm approaching this whole I'm God, you're not God, immortal, moral situation." What would then this one-on-one, what would it take for me to have a better way of reaching out to you? And then I can format that into my plan
A
set.
better relationship?
Yeah, I want to have a better relationship with
Well,
you.
he
How
could
can I make
show
this
up. That
work?
would be a start.
You could show up, Dad.
Hard have a relationship with someone you can't talk to or see.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
I
Okay.
saw a meme early this morning,
Yeah.
and it said, it's funny that, the religious don't trust science and don't think science is true or valid and all this stuff. But as soon as they say that there's a eclipse coming, oh, well, that's the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they jump right on it, no questions asked. We're having an eclipse Monday. They
Yeah.
trust it.
Right. It pains me because I see people, even who I work out with on a regular basis, really, really nice people who are fully indoctrinated, who will say things like, tornadoes are manufactured by humans. They'll say things like that. It's like, oh, I say like, oh, the weather's looking bad. We had a tornado warning at work. It's like, don't worry, tornadoes are made by the government.
No, I
They
hadn't
say
heard
things like that,
that.
but don't even get them started on vaccines. But like, it's all rooted on the fact that they have a very poor epistemology in terms of determining what's true from what's not true,
I
right?
think I read recently that Tennessee, the House is, or maybe it was the Senate, has passed a resolution banning contrails.
When Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee. I'm pretty sure it was Tennessee.
Did
Now,
that
if it,
pass?
I think it passed the House. Or the Senate, whichever one originated it. But can
That's
you
silly.
imagine if it came law and
Yeah,
they
that's
started
really, really
shutting
silly.
down airlines on
Yeah,
that
so
basis?
airspace across Tennessee is like,
Yeah,
what? That
wait
makes no
until
sense.
they start shutting down military flights. That's what I'll see. Yeah.
You know what, there's two things about that. One is it's sad when people who at a young age were never taught how to tell true things from false things grow up into adults who don't know how to tell true things from
Right.
false things. And you don't just intuitively understand that. You have to be
No.
trained and disciplined to think how to think effectively, right? But then to become an adult whose job is to pass legislation, and instead of passing meaningful legislation, we are wasting time on this low level of argumentation on contrails and conspiracy theories. Like, if I have potholes up and down the roads, I'm sure that in Knoxville there's some really bad roads, and your government bodies instead of addressing those, are thinking, well, how tall was Bigfoot? 5.5 feet or 5 and 6 inches feet? 5 and 6 inches. How dare you say 5.5 feet? And that's all they're arguing about. You're thinking like, you guys aren't even doing your jobs. You're literally not doing your jobs, which is being in service of the people and making sure that things work, that there's
Right.
water.
That's what's happening in Washington these days, with the
Ugh.
Republicans in the House, because they just lock down everything. They don't do anything. Their main goal is to stultify the works of the Democratic Party and the president. And try to impeach him. Why? Retribution over Trump. And it locks our country down. We cannot do anything, can't pass laws that need to be passed.
And I know, oh, here, I'll go into this because we do need a change of plans even for like politics, right? But like the idea of, if we go back 200 years, things were probably a lot more cordial, but the quality of life in America was substantially worse for the majority of the people that lived here, the majority of different kinds of people that
What
lived here.
period are you talking about? All
I'm
of it?
talking about black people, for women, for
No, I mean period of
immigrants.
time.
200 years ago,
Oh,
40
okay.
years ago, like you go back long, it's
Pretty
not.
much the entire history of the country.
Yeah. They always say there's a joke that you probably haven't heard, but if a black guy had a time machine, they would never go in the past. The movie with the black guy with the time machine is like, I'm not using it. I don't want to go back to the past. You want me to go back to the
Oh,
1960s? Do
you
you know what
know that
happens in the 1960s
the
to
next
black people?
time lord,
No. No, I'm not going to get out of the time machine.
you
No,
know that
get
the
out of
next
here.
time lord is supposed to be black.
Oh, really? In Doctor Who? Okay,
Yeah.
I'll be interested for
Yeah.
it. I'll be interested for it. All right. All
We'll
right.
see.
So the whole idea is it's not a fact of how cordial or discordial the conversations are in Washington. The more of it is, in my opinion, of like, how interested are we getting people in understanding how our system works and how it could be beneficial to us? Because right now there's a lot of fear between administrative roles, it's particularly in government, and our policing and our politics and how that affects us on a daily basis when these are services that should be in favor and in the interests of people. And if the more we educate people at the ground level, I know it takes time, but the more we educate people on how these systems are supposed to work for us, the more we can get people in those positions to continue to work for them. Because I'm not saying every police guy's bad or every politician's bad. There's definitely people who are there who wanted to be there, who
Sure.
dreamed
And do the
becoming
good,
something
do the right
big.
job.
We need to empower those people, and we can only do that by being well informed and
Yeah.
expressing ourselves accurately when people are doing good things, and not just, oh, that's my team member. I'm going to support that team member. It's always bizarre because I have like a neighbor who has a I support the police blue line flag and a don't tread on me flag on either side of his home. And I keep driving by and I think to myself, you know, the first people who are going to tread on you are the people who get paid to tread on people. And it's that guy. It's that flag is going to do the thing that the other flag says you're going to do. So, like, what are you really saying? What are you really saying?
What gets me is when I see like Trump on the stage talking about all this racial and stuff and evangelical stuff, and I see police officers behind him. I'm not just talking about uniformed police officers. I'm talking about the higher echelons, the leaders, the chief of police, that type of thing behind him, supporting him for that kind of thing. And it really worries me.
No, it's true too. The main thing I would say is like for a change of plans in that regard, if we were to talk to if I were to say what my change of plan would be for God if you were to come to me, isn't so much the idea of like show up. It'd be nice if he did. It'd be nice if he did. But also I would say maybe even more importantly is recognize that we're capable of coming up with these obs com coming up with observations for ourselves and give us some level of autonomy to work this out. Because what happens when you come in as a God and say, I know everything that's good, I know everything in the universe, I can do anything, and then I disappear, is that people will not apply critical thought to their own actions and just simply say, well, my ambiguous relationship with this God justifies all the actions that I'm doing as a result. And so when
Because
I'm
it says so
actually,
in that book.
because it says so in that book, and because even when I'm actually doing something harmful, I don't have to evaluate that because I'm doing what's ascribed to me by this God. Whereas if God
Don't
said,
want to.
oh, I was saying, whereas if God said, hey, listen, I'm leaving this up to you. You guys need to make sure that you take care of yourself well. And if you find good systems of behavior and law and ethics and morals, and you came up with it, that's just as good as if I came up with it. But I need you to make sure that you're constantly testing them out and thinking about better ways to improve them. Continuous improvement, always. All right, see you guys later. Like, even if it was that, I'd be like, well, it's not as much feedback as I wanted, but he did validate that we can come up with better systems and now we can actually test them. And we might find better ways of treating people than what's just given to us in
Yeah, it
the
would have been nice if he had said that. The thing
Bible.
about it is, in the book, he says pretty much everything that can be said. So it turns out to be a Rorschach test. I mean, if you want to do bad, there's stuff to support it. If you want to do good, there's stuff to support it. It really tells you more about the person reading it than the book itself.
Sure
But there's
does.
so much bad stuff in the book, like God giving plagues to 40,000 people because this person didn't take a census. That is just wanton evil. It's just, this, but so many people just ignore that part,
Right.
those parts.
I'll also say one last thing, I guess, before we get to our break, but like progress tends to skew towards progressive thinking or liberal thinking. And there's the The counterculture in the US specifically is one where it's just an issue of exposure. Small towns, small rural towns with their chief of police, with few people who all very much look the same, have the same ideas, have the same thoughts, have the same look, outlook, maybe even professions. And then big metropolis cities where different people have to work with each other who all look different, maybe have different cultures, different religions, different languages, different looks, different body types. And those people are populating way faster than the rural people. And those people in those bigger cities are slowly looking for cheaper places to live and are infusing themselves into like the
Plus,
more rural
the
communities to
outer
come.
outskirts of those cities are growing as well. It's like
Right.
you could say the entire East Coast and West Coast of America are one big megapolis, because you never really go from city to city and go out in the country to before you get to the next city. It's
That's
just a
true.
constant city all the way
That's
down,
true. That's
and
true.
that's moving inwards as they expand. And the big
Right.
cities are growing, the
I'm seeing it in
universities are growing.
Tennessee. I'm seeing it in Tennessee. And so I think the only issue we need to fight against is gerrymandering. But for the most part, we are seeing the culture shift, the cultural shift towards more people are realizing, oh, people are different. That's fine. What else I got to do? What else?
Well, the thing about it is, in the big cities, you interact with those
Yes.
people that are different from you, and you realize that they're good people.
Yeah.
When you live in a small town out in the middle of Podunk, Texas, or something, you don't interact with them. Or if you do, you have so many prejudgments against those people that you see them as bad even before you get to know them. It's
Exactly.
we in the city are learning to live with each other, where it's hard to do that like in the countryside.
Yeah, I would say grow up in the city, retire in the country, rather than the other way around. Because it's a
But
lot.
leave your driving habits behind.
Okay, we're at the bottom of the half hour.
Okay. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Brothers and sisters, have you heard the news? The storm has lifted and there's nothing to lose. So swap your confirmation for your dancing shoes, because there never was no God. Step out of the darkness and onto the streets. Forget about the fast, let's have a carnival feast. Raise up your lowered head and hear the liberation beat, because there never was no God. And there is no God. So clap your hands together. There is no God. No heaven and no hell. But there is no God. We're all in this together. There is no God. So ring that victory. Until we die, until we restitute the meek, no blaming all our failings on imaginary beasts, because there never was no God. The fighting of a land your distant fathers told you of, no spilling blood for those who never spread a drop of love. The finger pointing justified by phantoms up above, because there never was no God. My sins away.
But now we're singing my refrain, and this is what I say. I say there never was no God. There is no God. So clap your hands together. There is no God. No heaven and no hell. But there is no God. We're all in this together. There is no God. So ring that victory bell.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 22nd year now. Have over 1,100 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high-top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. You can find us online at Facebook, meetup.com, or go to our website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. That's right. Wombat, what are you going to pick up?
You know, I'd feel remiss if I didn't talk about the end of the world. But just before that, I wanted to say we did have an April Fool's Day this last week. And is it any loss of irony on the religious sector that April Fool's occurs immediately after Easter?
I don't think they would recognize. They're two different things. Compartmentalization.
Just completely different holidays. Don't worry about them. Like, mm-hmm. So day where it's like, finally, Jesus has risen from the dead. And the next day is, gotcha. Yeah. It just seems so bizarre that those two holidays are like right smack.
Well, but, you know, I'm sure they think that April 1st, April Fool's Day is just a man-made holiday. It has nothing to do with, you know, the truth of the religion.
The irony, though, because every holiday is a man-made holiday. There's no special thing about holidays. It's just a planet spiraling through space.
Blasphemy.
So, speaking of blasphemy, mm-hmm. The end of the world is apparently going to happen on April 8th. This is brought in by a number of our viewers, and they said, Ancient Star Wars says, Jesus was supposedly originally going to draft a bunch of folks to heaven in his lifetime, but he forgot about that. So it's been another 2,000 years, and now he's finally going to do it. I can't wait to see him forget about it again this year. But don't worry, Christian's got his back. They'll surely cover up for him and act like he never made that promise at all. He's going to do it someday, is what they all say. Can't wait to see him fail again tomorrow. Can't wait for God to find out his son has been lacking. He's probably not going to do much about it, though, since, you know, it's him.
Yeah, are you talking about God never changing his mind? Well, he changed his mind big time between the first, the Old Testament and the New. I mean, he turned his whole personality around from just punishing everybody unless they make sacrifices to him to forgiving everybody and saying it's all good, you know, just believe in my son. And then, of course, if he's in control of everything, then he's ultimate responsible for killing his son.
Right.
And of course, there is no such thing as death, so he didn't really die.
Right.
And if he didn't really die, how could he die for your sins?
No, just, it's a big game of peekaboo.
Yeah,
it's a big
game
of peekaboo. It's just, I'm dead. Yeah. No, I'm not. Ha ha. Yeah. Worship me forever now, guys. Like, the more you play peekaboo with kids, the better a driver they'll be. And I say,
really?
Object permanence is super important, because if you're at an intersection and a car drives past the view of a car, you, in your brain, you're like, That car is going to stay parked because he knows he's about to drive into a road, right? But when that car leaves and that car's halfway driving to the street, you're like, don't you realize there's still traffic behind the car? Just because you didn't see traffic because you had your view blocked didn't mean that there wasn't traffic behind the car. What are you doing? Kids need to play peekaboo more. Parents need to play peekaboo more with their kids. And I think if you did it well enough, people will be like, wait a second, Jesus just died to the God who controls life and death? Isn't that just basically like putting a Dixie cup over him? And then putting it back over again. Like, I don't understand how important the sacrifice was because it wasn't really a sacrifice. It was literally a guy going like, I got your ear. No, I got your nose. It's here. Oh, it's back on your face again. And we're all like, whoa, this guy really loves me.
It's just death is just a change of address, and it's as far as
If
Christianity
you
goes.
already own the entire
Yeah,
universe, is it?
most religions for that matter.
Yeah. The problem is this: we extend this to Christianity, but it also extends to Islam because then God changed his mind three times, right? Every single time you have a new prophet, whether it's Mormon, Islam,
Yeah, and not only,
Christianity, it's
and what
in
about the hadiths that come later,
yeah.
the books
You're
that the new guys write, and the old.
not getting rid of the problems, you're just adding a new layer to the cake of problems, right? And like if the first layer of the cake is gravel, it's still a bad cake, no matter how many layers you put on top of it.
True that.
All right. So, speaking of the world ending, there was another commenter. His name is Max Musamare, who said, "I dropped the H bomb on my insane Christian relatives today," and he said they were talking about the magic apocalypse warnings for Monday, including the eclipse, just as a heads up. And then they seg and the eclipse is also a very popular topic. They segued into anti-immigrants, anti-gay diatribes. And I said this to them. Sounds like you're in a deep well of selfishness and hate. That's the H-bomb. It's almost as if the world is moving closer to love while Christians are getting left behind, capital left behind, by the way, in selfishness.
Oh, that's
And of
so
course.
true. I hadn't heard it put so well.
The thing about leaving people behind, though, is that the mechanisms that are that exist to leave people behind are, how do I put it, the same sort of disinterest. Oh, how do I put it? Like it's hard to make people want to care about being more empathetic and being more responsible with how they think and then can condone their actions. I know it's definitely hard, and we don't want to force everybody to do it, but when we say as callously that we can leave people behind, that's sort of the same attitude that Christians have on those who have actually went through the effort to learn how to better be or learn the consequences of their actions, learn about rationalizing the truth. And so you can't have two completely uncaring parties looking at each other, just being like, ah, they're going to hell. Ah, those guys are crazy. Like somewhere there was needs to be a bridge that can be built. And I understand the impetus on someone who's saying, I don't think gay people and immigrants are that bad of people. I'm just going to not listen to you. I understand that, but like I feel the better way of handling that kind of conversation alongside maybe what you said would be also to demonstrate that there are good examples. And like when you see good immigrants in leadership or on TV or in sports or as actors, put them on a pedestal and recognize them. And that way, those who always try to dismiss their contributions to society will begin to slowly lose that expectation. Because if this is a tangent, I just wanted to say, like, when you put people in a box, the best way of getting them out is to put them on a billboard instead. Like and show like, hey, if you think black people only do XYZ, let me show you other examples of them in actors. Let me put them in Doctor Who. Let me put them in sports. Let me have them elected as president. And now you think like, oh, okay, maybe my idea of them was a little view because now they do these all these other things. Like the power of pop culture is super good
Like
and sports.
during the since we're all immigrants pretty much
Yeah,
except the native
absolutely. Well,
immigrants,
we're not, but black
their
people there
families
didn't
were.
immigrate here.
But I
But
mean,
yes.
every time somebody does something like win an Olympics, you can say, this is Charles Smith. His parents immigrated from Germany.
Yes.
This is so and so. His parents immigrated from Ireland. And
Right.
on and on and on. Just, we're all the descendants of immigrants
That's
at some
it's
point.
the it's the power of sports when you do that. And I've seen, for example, very in Tennessee, I have seen like the most red hat conservative people wearing a McHolmes jersey. And I thought to myself, like, this guy is sporting the jersey of a black man that he really likes. Like, you would never, sports is the only thing capable of getting people to see a whole bunch of different color people from different sizes, tall and short, play a game together and cheer for like the black people. And I'm like,
But
that's
then
awesome.
they turn
That's
around and jeer the other team. So
yeah. I'm just like,
but
it's no longer about
it's
color. They're just
sports.
like thinking about the teams that they're on. It's such a human condition tapping, but I
Talking
love it.
about we're all immigrants. If we go back far enough in time, like 15, 20,000 years ago, even Native Indians were immigrants from the Asian East, where they came across the land bridge there and immigrated into America.
But
So
it's
nobody
not it.
was.
Oh, I just want to say, like,
Was
we're not all immigrants. Some people were brought here against their will, and
that's
that's not
true.
immigration.
That's
So,
true
like,
too.
we did come from different places, but not everybody's immigrant. And I just want to highlight that it just means that everyone's different, right? And like, we should be valuing that the fact that, hey, everybody's different. Everyone has this different story. We don't need to generalize everybody into one group. People are different, deal with it and learn from different cultures and different what they have to say.
Celebrate
That's
the
important.
differences.
Exactly.
It's like if you were watching TV and every show was the same story, how boring would that be? But everybody's got a different story. Celebrate the differences.
Yes, and change up your plans every now and then. It wouldn't hurt either. We had an eclipse, or has the eclipse happened already,
No,
Larry?
tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh man, so that's the on the day that ends. Okay. Now
One
I
day
follow.
left.
All right, so the idea that we were able to pinpoint the timing of that eclipse, because I think like we're all fairly confident that's going to happen, sort of like makes me feel proud that science has gotten so good that it can pinpoint accurate like when these events would happen. And I just wish that people were able to recognize that, when the Bible gets things wrong, and it has gotten things wrong many times, and science is always like, when science is always like, actually, take this pill, it'll make your headache go away, or this is the right button to hit to stop your car, or this fabric is going to be good when you let go of a rock hold and you need to come down on the auto belay system, or if you cut yourself, put this chemical on it, it's going to disinfect the wound and you'll still have your arm afterwards, or if you need to have birth, go to this doctor, or if there's an eclipse, stand in this one spot at this time of day and you'll be there. Like, science is constantly giving out prophecies
Yeah,
that are
constantly.
accurate and work. Why have we never had the book of science? Why are people like invested in this? Because the low-key advertisement of just, I feel like we take it for granted that science is right,
Oh,
unless
yeah.
if it contradicts our religious points of view.
Yeah.
Now it's
Well, even the
suddenly,
religious, are planning for an eclipse to happen tomorrow. They don't question it. It's not something to say, it's not going to be an eclipse tomorrow. Science is wrong. On a certain level, they do respect science. They do respect what it can do.
I think at a deep level, they want their religious views to be scientific, or if they just have a low understanding what
Oh
scientific is,
yes.
they already think it does.
How many times you see a person get on and say, scientists have found that clued that the ark landed here, or that the cave had the cave in it, our is where is it? Believe I can't remember the name of the country.
Turkey? Is it
No.
Hungary? The mountains of Hungary?
Where Jesus lived?
Oh,
Israel.
okay.
Israel.
Yeah, I was going to say Boston,
I'm
depending
70,
on who you
almost
ask.
74 years old. I have trouble with names of countries even. But Israel, they'll say that, scientists have discovered a cave in Israel where Jesus was. They grab this reputation that science has and try to bring it into religion to justify it. So, and then they turn right around and says, just science don't know anything. When they say that something in the Bible is wrong,
And
science is wrong.
that's when it's not science anymore. That's when you can't claim any of it. Once you start saying it's only right when it confirms my point of view and it's wrong when it doesn't confirm my point of view, Now you can't use any of science because that is not science anymore. Now it's cherry picking, and that's not the scientific process. In fact, science is all about understanding when you're wrong just as much as figuring out how to be right, you know? And if you're not using it for both those things, you're no longer using the scientific method. You can't just use science to make yourself feel better. It's for you to figure out how to be right. And that's all there is to it. I do feel like it's scary because when I was a Christian, I would compartmentalize how I approached my scientific journey because I was a scientist. I mean, I was a Christian all the way until my first or second year of undergrad. So like I was really good in high school, good in my first 2 years of college learning biochemistry. Like I'm learning about, you know, how eukaryotes and DNA works, and my entire mind is like, God is so amazing. Oh man, I can't wait to tell
how
my
he,
friends
how he
about
drove evolution.
It's like, yeah, like where's the creator in all this process? We should rephrase this book. Like it's really great. And I realized at a certain point, like, you know,
started putting two and two together.
Well, it was really the ethics and morals class that hit me because I thought I knew what morality was. I knew science like left and right, like, but I didn't remember what was questioned on my ethics because in my opinion, ethics was just what was given to me by God. Like God's version of science and all the science in my book was just the how of what he did. And whereas my Bible was the why of what he did. And I could literally match those two together. But when you took me out of science, put me into like the more softer areas of human reasoning, like ethics, morality, and law. I'm like, oh, but I know this too, because it's just the how and the why. And I actually have the book of the why. And if we're just going to talk about the why, I'm just going to hold up my Bible and just be like, it's these verses, it's these verses. And then I realize, oh man, these verses are actually inadequate for how to properly conduct a society. Or the explanations I'm getting from the Bible aren't as satisfying compared to what these philosophers have said and reasoned out and like can even mathematically prove are accurate. Like it's way better to take a balanced point of view of how to treat people, not just treat people the way how you want to be treated. Sometimes it's good to treat people the way how other people or they want to be treated and have a balance of the two. And you'll need more complicated rules for more nuanced situations moving on in the future. I'm like, that makes sense to me. I'm looking at the Bible. I'm like, oh no. Maybe I'll stop reading.
Well,
let me
ask you a question. Sure. In your first couple of years of biochemistry and all that, you were really into science, but you're also a believing Christian. Christianity says that basically it says that evolution didn't happen. I mean, God created man, you know, from dust. Yeah. But how were you reconciling that with what you were learning in biology without, I mean, outside of the moral question?
Absolutely. It was a series of phases, and it was whatever I could do to keep clinging onto the religion. Because at first I said evolution is not real. And I had that point of view like up until middle school, until the evidence was just so great. And I think being black was really important for my understanding of science, because when people tend to talk about God's point of view and God's religion and like, here's the plan, and they show pictures, it's always like a white guy. Like my Bible had a picture of a white Jesus on it, like perfectly manicured face. And when he talked about his people, it was a picture of a bunch of white people in Jerusalem. And when he's like, here are the slaves that escaped from Egypt. And it's just a bunch of blonde haired dudes moving from one place to another place. I'm like, well, I'm already so not
distant
the focal point from this. Yeah. That's easier for me to just say, it's not even about me to begin with. And I have to like do some gymnastics in my head. And then I got tired of the gymnastics. So when I heard about evolution, I'm like, that's not true, to the point where I'm like, it's probably true. And maybe the Bible's wrong just on these certain things, because who cares about these smaller details when it's really the bigger picture?
Maybe it's an analogy.
Yeah, I bifurcated the Bible into levels of importance. And I'm saying, as long as I still believe in God and that he did these things, it doesn't really matter about the finer details. Maybe no one's really got it. But then I learned about something called endosymbiosis theory, which is like you have a cell that is originally used to be two different organisms, but then they fused. And now that's the reason why you have mitochondria and your nucleus that has DNA inside of every cell. And your mitochondria has its own DNA because it used to be its own little animal. But then your body was like, we need to evolve these two things together because mitochondria do really useful things and make energy. And if we have that as our cell, we can have basically a power battery. But it has its own DNA. And you're like, what? That's weird. And then when you look at plants, they have chloroplasts, mitochondria, and their own nuclei where they have DNA. So it's three different things fused together. They're actually more genetically complicated than we are as people. Wow. And that's why plants can do this weird thing where like you can take an arm off an apple tree and put it on a pear tree, and then that pear tree starts making apple pears fusions together. And you're like, why can't humans do that? It's like, because they're not as complex as plants. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were special. It's like, no, they have three, you have two, deal with it. And I thought to myself, that's so matter of fact, that's so true, but so, so much cooler than anything I've ever learned in the Bible, that I'm like, you know, the facts are far more fascinating than the fiction. And I started to like, it started to peel back. And that's part of evolution too. You're like, yeah, germ theory and all this other stuff. And you're like, okay.
No. Mm-hmm.
All right. Evolution, you're super cool. Learn more about you.
Yeah.
You seem to be answering way more cool things than I am getting from the Bible. And at that point with the morality class, it was the last kick I needed to really be like.
Do we have any more listener comments?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, I always love talking about the journey.
Oh, yeah.
The journey to reason.
Here's the last listener comment. It's coming to us by Frasian Breed. You know, Christians think atheism is all about bashing God. What do you guys think about that? He does have some additional comments. I feel it's just the whole idea of the supernatural being creating and controlling the universe that doesn't resonate with atheists, and not necessarily about hating or having a vendetta with God. I think atheism, is what he says, is really about the unease with the supernatural being creating and controlling the universe, which doesn't resonate with atheists, and it's not necessarily about hating or having a vendetta against any God. What do you think about
the idea? Well, I think, first of all, that God. Person needs to realize that 90% of all atheists out there used to be believers.
Mm.
I mean, it's not like we just, when we come along, we don't believe, we hear about God and we reject it. That's not the case.
I want to be fair to this person. He is an atheist. He's expressing that as an atheist, I feel like my Christian friends only think that atheism is about bashing God. And they think that's funny.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times believers tell me that I hate God. You know, and a lot of times just the opening question in our conversation is, what happened to you that made you turn against God like that?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing happened to me. I was reasoned out of an unreasonable position. It happened in college in my first year. You know, nothing bad happened to me. You know, I asked a lot of questions and got a lot of answers, and the answers that I got from religion just didn't stack up. And I eventually lost my faith because it wasn't supported.
Hmm.
And it's funny that you say that your diversion really started with a moralities class, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a guy who has a really good series of how he became a non-Christian, how he lost his Christianity, a YouTube series called Why I'm No Longer a Christian. And it's by a guy named Evidence 3. Hmm. If you spell evidence with the last E being a 3, that's his name. So I recommend everybody who wants to studies these deconversions from Christianity to atheism. He is one of the best. Got a good series of videos out there.
Larry, the conversion stories are always interesting, but I also wanted to say that it's never one thing, because it's really the environment of being at a university with a lot of different people, the environment of being on my own, living on my own, and not having like my mom tell me what to like wear or make food for me. Like, I'm cooking for myself, I'm living for myself, I'm paying my own rent. I'm living without the boundaries that were provided around me, and I'm in a different ecosystem where people care about thinking and working with different people. I feel like that university platform is really good, and you see a lot of people fade out of their religions. Islamic, very strong progressives, like very strong conservatives, just sort of like ease a little
bit.
Well,
you're learning all this new stuff. I mean, and a lot of it challenges the stuff that you learned growing up.
Yep.
And you're being given that information by people who know, people who have discovered it for themselves, done the experiments, as it were, and have written papers and or books about these subjects. They're very knowledgeable. They have the answers that you, when your questions bubble up naturally, as they will in these classes, they can tell you why.
Yeah, because they've been doing nothing but answering those same questions year after year, right?
Years. Mm-hmm.
And Christianity, sort of like, in my opinion, having a car with three wheels. And you can get by with a car with three wheels, you know, but what college is sort of like a racetrack. And you realize, oh man, this car with three wheels isn't enough for me to bend and curve and do all these extra moves. So you'll need to upgrade your car. And for some people, it's more of an upgrade than others. But what you really end up with is a much more structured car. And when you look at your car again, that has all four wheels and all these new preventive measures on it, you're like, that's not Christianity anymore. Where is that? It's like, that's what your car was before someone took a wheel off. And it's like,
Jesus, take the wheel.
I was just like, wait a second. This is way better. And though you go back to your family, it's like, what happened to your fancy three-wheel car? It's like, I put my wheel back on, Mom. That's what happened. Anyway, I had a change of plans.
No, I certainly recommend that anybody who can go to college. Well, not only will it make you question your previous knowledge and stuff, but it will teach you how to do the research that you need to do go after college.
Yeah. And
the best benefit I ever got from college was learning how to do the research.
Right.
And once college is over and you have your degree, you still have that skill and it will carry you through the rest of your life.
Yeah. Here's a last hot take. Don't go to a Christian college. Don't go to an online college if you can afford otherwise. Go to even like your local public community college that just has a lot of different people available to you. You're going to learn the same stuff.
Right.
You'll get the same degree more or less at the end of the day, but you'll have the infusion of working with a lot of different people. That's the value of school and scholastics, is the networking and the compatibility work that you'll do with many different people who are not like you. That's the true education, in my opinion.
Right.
And if you get that, that makes the whole journey worth it, in my opinion. All right. That's it.
Yep.
For
that's
me.
It for 361, I think it is.
361.
Yeah, no, 362. This was change of plans, 362. So
Sweet.
We got three more episodes.
All right. Looking forward to them. It's going to be good. We're going to make them a blast, guys.
Where can we find your stuff?
Let's chat on youtube.com. And you can not only find all these other previous shows, but you can also find some of my, Street Socratics, where I sit down and talk to people about stuff, about what they believe.
Yeah.
Good stuff. You might find some music on there too in the future. Just letting you know, I make some music too.
Sounds cool. Good. And you can find this show on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My book, Atheism, What's It All About, is available on Amazon. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. here on WOZO Radio.
Awesome.
Say bye, Ty.
Bye, Ty.
We'll see you later. Bye-bye.